This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. We thank you to our loyal listeners. And for those that are first-time listeners, it's always fun to get on the mic and share a little bit more about what's going on within restaurants and technology. Today, we've got some... I think this is the first time we've had a guest that's in this space talk to our audience. So it's going to be fun to engage with Brian Radin. Brian, why don't you tell everybody on the call who you are and what you get the privilege of doing on a daily basis at Comdata Prepaid.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jeremy. Again, my name is Brian Radin. I'm the president of Comdata Prepaid. Comdata is a subsidiary of Fleetcore, which is a public payments business that is about a $18 billion market cap company in a variety of spaces. The business I run primarily focuses on providing payroll cards and other prepaid programs to employers and other businesses. And we have quite a bit of concentration in the restaurant space, which is part of why I'm here today. And historically, I've worked with a lot of restaurants. I used to be a founder and a CEO of a large professional employer organization. And some of our largest clients were restaurants, franchisees of larger chains that we work with quite a bit across all the spectrum of HCM. So had a long history with the space and really excited today to chat with you about some of the things that we're doing and trying to help our clients during a very difficult economic environment.
Yeah, no, it's it certainly has been a rough go, and I like to kind of poke a little bit at the restaurant space over the last couple of years. It's been rough, and I'm sure you guys have been met with a decent amount of challenges with your customers and where they're at over the last couple of years. So, for those that are unfamiliar with kind of what payroll cards are, why don't you break that down a little bit before we get into your guys' specific solution, more at a macro level? What Sure. is a payroll card, and what it, you know, I know what it is. I know that we've got some other restaurants, and it feels like that's becoming a more common thing that more and more restaurants are looking to do is these payroll cards. But why don't you educate our listeners a little bit on what payroll cards are before we jump into your guys' specific solution and why you guys feel that that you guys are, you know, superior to some of the other competitors that you guys have out there?
Sure, happy to do it. So payroll cards actually been around for over 35 years. In fact, Comdata originated them back in the early 90s. And really, if payroll cards are a replacement for either a check, a physical check, or a direct deposit account that employees would have, or gig workers, 1099s, et cetera. In the old days, it was primarily for people who didn't have a bank account. That's how it kind of started. And then, or people that were underbanked. Mm-hmm. But over the years, again, from a macro perspective, the better solutions have morphed more into full service types of products that allow the consumer to do all the things that other consumer-based cards might do, from, you know, P2P to bill pay to the earned wage access, which we'll talk about later. About 20% of Americans get paid on a pay card, so it is not insignificant. About 8 or 9% are still actually physically paid by a check, and the balance are on direct deposit. There's a bunch of benefits for the cards relative, certainly, to a piece of paper, which it's quite big. And we have restaurants that still, a lot of them are using paychecks. In physical paper. And so the benefit, obviously, the cost and the distribution, which became more relevant during the height of COVID, when getting people paid and sending them, picking up a check was not what you could do. You had to FedEx it or mail it. It became quite a challenge for a lot of our clients, and that pushed them even more to look at pay cards or expanding pay card programs with ones we had. So it really is a payment mechanism. About how you position your product, what benefits and what other solutions you add around it. In essence, though, it is how a lot of workers get paid.
Yeah, I heard that statistic recently about the 20%, and I just think that's still it's interesting to me. It was actually in the context of kind of the Venmo, PayPal, some of those other alternate payment methods as it relates to, you know, taking payments and or buying restaurant goods and services, that I was just intrigued about, because I had no idea that was such a large percentage of the population that is either underbanked, as you called it, or don't have access to a bank account. It was baffling to me that was such a large percentage of the U.S. population.
And it's the typical worker doesn't even have $400 in their account to allow for savings and emergencies. I mean, we have a serious financial crisis that was going on long before COVID in terms mm-hmm. of particularly this space and the workers in this space ability to manage finances, save money, be prepared for a rainy day, get the education they need around financial planning. That's an issue. Again, mm-hmm. COVID has highlighted that in some ways, and in some ways, people are getting paid more money because the industry is struggling to attract and retain employees. And so while wages have gone up, the underlying issues associated with this group of workers and maybe their relationship with their employers and their overall financial savvy is still challenging and will continue to be. And it's part of what we're trying to do in addressing our products to our clients.
I love it. I love it. And I know we'll get into what, just the benefits of the pay cards. And I think it's interesting, because I'm sure there's some of your clients that probably are even banked but choose to go this route. We talked pre-show a little bit about what FinTwist is. Why don't you give our audience a little bit of an understanding? Talk to me about FinTwist. What is it? Where does that come from? What does that phrase even mean? And how does that tie into what Comdata does?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, Comdata created the pay card, and I came to the business about 4.5 years ago, and we had this pay card. We'd had it in the market, but we really didn't have any branding around it. We didn't really have any attributes associated with it. It was part of our corporate payments business, which is a significant business at FleetCor. Just as a side note, you talk about paper, still about 60% of the AP AP payments are paid by check. So it's high that still 10% of Americans get paid their payroll every week or every other week on a piece of paper. 60% or more of vendor payments are still made by check. And that's a lot about what we do in our business, is converting those to electronic payments in our corporate payments, or what we call CorePay division. But in terms of our business, we had this product kind of tucked into the corporate payments business. And really, when I got here, I said, hey, we need to essentially come up with a way to articulate what we're doing and what's the importance of having a standalone business separate from our corporate payments business that focused on employers and employees. And we just couldn't call it the Comdata pay card anymore. So, like all good.
That doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
No, not quite as good. No. And so we engaged with some outside, firms to look at something that would kind of feel a little bit different, a little bit more original, also have a little bit of a tie to fintech or finance. And so the FinTwist name and brand was born. And really it was about an opportunity to kind of wipe the slate clean. Not that we wanted to get rid of the history, because we started the business. Mm-hmm. But when I got here, it felt like it was old. It didn't feel like it was, we didn't have a heritage in pay cards. And that's really what I wanted to articulate, was that we had a heritage in pay cards, not that we were just old and that we were doing new things. And we essentially set out to launch a brand new mobile solution in 2019, add new products, as I mentioned earlier, like B2P and bill pay, add other educational components to it, so that it would really have the ability to stand on its own and separate away from our corporate payments business and Comdata. And so that's really where the history came from. Some of it's marketing, some of its positioning. And really, again, it was about creating a blank canvas and starting all over again from the perspective of how we went to market.
I like it. I'm going to ask you, just because you live in this space, and for those that are less familiar, and I'm guessing, you know, you talked percentages just a little bit ago about how most people pay, you know, your 10% that's paying on a check and 20% that use some kind of pay cards, but the majority of people are still getting direct deposit. But talk to me about what the employee's experience of that looks like when I'm getting paid on the 1st and the 15th, or I'm getting paid, you know, 26 times a year and I'm getting paid every other week and all of that kind of thing. If I'm getting paid on a paycheck via direct deposit, and really where the earned wage access, you know, functionality that you alluded to with what you guys are doing there, I guess, changes that gap. So why don't you educate our audience, for those that aren't familiar, on either the paper paycheck or direct deposit, so that we can juxtapose it with what you guys do when it comes to being able to use the funds that you're getting on a more regular basis and have quicker access to the money that maybe do you as it relates to the pay cards.
Sure. So checks are checks. I mean, there's a whole set of costs associated with them for an employer, for a business. It's really today probably mostly older workers, union shops, some small organizations that just feel handing out a piece of paper is easier. And when you add all those up, it becomes still 8 or 9% of workers. But it's a very clunky way. And in that situation, there's a lot of reasons why you would want to use a pay card. First of all, there's check cashing fees. So a lot of people take those checks, they go to a check casher, costs them a lot of money. Check cashing has shrunk, but it's still a pretty good sized business because there's still people that have checks. Two, if you want to put some money in your bank account, you still have to open a bank account, but likely if you're getting paid by check, likely if you're in this class or trade of employee, that bank account may have costs to it that you're incurring as well. So you're incurring the check cashing, then incurring the bank account because you're not getting any kind of direct deposit, or you're not having a lot of funds put directly into your account. So there's a real cost issue. Logistics, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, during COVID, it became very clear that I wasn't going to leave my house nearly as much, or I may go to the restaurant in the period of time after, again, maybe, but limited exposure to other people and other environments was one of my top priorities and concerns. So having to take this piece of paper, go somewhere and do something with it became more burdensome. When it comes to direct deposit, it's kind of a different way to think about it. Yes, it's both electronic pay, which is better than clearly getting a check.
Yep.
When it comes to direct deposit, if you're an employer, sure, you can do that. We think the card is better because, one, some of those bank accounts still have costs, depends on how much money you're depositing and what you're using that account for. We all look at our bank statement sometimes and find, hey, I didn't know I incurred that fee or I incurred this fee. So, one, there's fees. Two, there's just, again, we find particularly in the kind of Gen Z, Y populations, which are a lot of the populations certainly in our restaurant trades. Mm-hmm. They just don't like banks. They don't trust them. They've had histories with them. It's kind of their parents' type of generation that uses banks. We don't need them. You know, we don't write checks. I mean, I have a couple of out of college kids. They've probably never written a check in their life. And it's really because that group of people, this generation, doesn't need it. And so, you know, all they really do is occasionally need to get some cash, but really it's all Venmo or Zelle or P2P type solutions. So it's not a necessity to have that physical plant anymore, which a bank kind of represents. In terms of what we offer, what a pay card would offer, beyond the just general same attributes of having money loaded down to a card, this becomes kind of a mobile bank without the bank. Mm-hmm. I can use it to do all of my payments. I can do debit. I can do credit. I can do my Venmo. I can do Zelle. I can pay bills out of it electronically if I choose that. It gives them the same product attributes with no cost. And it's also, and why we think it's differentiated from the Chimes of the world and the multiple consumer cards, is this is a B2B product. We provide the service to a restaurant. We help educate, we help train, we help market. We deal with the consumer. They call us. They don't really call their employer when it comes to their card. And so you have, despite what's probably changed in the last couple of years, this employer-employee relationship, employees still feel somewhat that their employers are paternalistic. And so having the relationship with the employer providing the card, that's an important part of what the difference here is. So it's not a consumer, it's not a B2C program. This is a B2B, but we deal with the C, the consumer.
That's an interesting divide, because I just think about the how much that payroll relationship, especially when it's not right or something's off. I'm sure that's a huge burden that a lot of restaurants struggle with. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I think that's right. And again, we don't do the payroll calculation; we do the payment. So calculation, but we also with our product have a tips piece. So it in terms of restaurants and a few other types of businesses having the ability to get their tips right on their card right then and there when they work is pretty important. And still, the majority of restaurants, not all, are settling out the tips on payday. And payday could be a week away, typically, or maybe 2 weeks away, depending on the restaurant. So we also allow them to load the tips on. And then lastly, you alluded to this earn wage access or on-demand pay, which is a big trend in the payments world the last 2 or 3 years, which allows an employee to get some portion of their pay as they work. Mm-hmm. So it defeats the notion of payday. It doesn't mean I have to wait until the 15th or the 31st or every other week or every week to get paid. If I have my money, I'd like to get it now, and I'd like to have it to use to pay my bills, to buy what I need at the time I need it, not have to postpone it for a week or 2 weeks. And we live in a world, frankly, as you know, Jeremy, especially that generation of, Ys and Zs. I want it now. I don't want it tomorrow. I need the cash to go and pay for it. I've earned it. Why don't you give it to me? Why do I live in this artificial construct of paydays? And so that's what earn wage access philosophically does. There's many people doing it. Everyone has a different way, and we can talk about that in a second. But philosophically, those are the attributes of the pay card as we provide it, and others to some degree, that would be different than direct deposit or certainly a check.
Well, thank you for that. And I think it's I think it really goes into a lot of your guys' value proposition about where and why people should consider a solution like what you guys have. I think it's kind of cool. I quite frankly, and our audience knows, I oftentimes can read through the script or we can talk pre-show, but I end up learning things. So it's always intriguing to me. So the card that they have, this isn't me. But the card that they have, it functions like a regular debit card or a Visa logoed or MasterCard logoed card. So I can take it out to go get coffee. I can take it out to go pay for things. Is that kind of how, as a consumer, if I was an employee and I was getting paid through your guys' FinTwist solution, that's how it functions for me. I just use it like it's a B of A debit card or a Chase debit card.
That's exactly right. It's both debit and credit. We are a MasterCard shop, so our programs are all MasterCard backed. And prepay cards, or if you had a bank card that you got from, Chase or Citibank or something like that, or now one of the myriad of consumer-based cards, in terms of the credit and debit functionality, it'd be very similar.
Yep.
I think one of the challenges for a consumer these days, let's call it in this case an employee or a worker, but all consumers, is what do each card give you? Because a lot of them look the same.
Yep.
And nobody reads the mice type. So you don't know what liabilities you have. You don't know who has those liabilities. And I do think if you're talking about this type of consumer who, is living check to check in many cases, is probably not as financially savvy. Their employers historically have not spent a lot of time in educating them on it.
Yep.
Stuff when you're paying you know, well under minimum wage, and it's all tips. And so it's a lot, it's a very tough business, as obviously you and your listeners know, and we've come to know over the years. But I think it's, I think having the security of one, your employer, and two, a company like FleetCor and Comdata, who backs the product and all the products, whether it's the EWA component or the core pay card or other elements of it, and certainly having, you know, sophisticated partners like MasterCard, it's just a more secure product, in my opinion. But again, I would be wrong if you looked at the literally millions of cards that are in the market that have names that we literally could just spend an hour talking about all of the consumer products, and I just give you a list. So I think that's a challenge for us and has been a challenge for the industry over the last few years, as more of these consumer-based banks have emerged using card products that essentially claim no fees, all kinds of solutions. But what people don't understand, a lot of those have recourse back to the consumer. So if you don't pay, we're going after your bank account. If we have issues with the underlying credibility or capital structure, that's not on us. It's ultimately going to fall on you. People don't do that. And so ultimately, the offers that used to come in the mail and now come by email, a lot of people click. And next thing you know, there's a card in their mailbox. So I think it's that relationship we have with the employer in many ways is what made this industry sustain the onslaught of fintechs that have emerged in the last, you know, 10 years.
Well, and I think that I guess transitions us well as a restaurateur. I see this as a distinctive advantage when I'm hiring people. You know as well as I do, the last number of years, and you alluded to it earlier, a lot of people have looked at our space and gone, yeah, no, that's a lot of work for not a lot of pay. I can go drive an Uber and, you know, drive some food around and make the same amount of money that I might have been able to make, you know, waiting tables or whatnot, bartending for years. And it's been pretty volatile in the last couple of years. But I see the whole earned wage access, as well as just the whole idea of getting paid without having to deal with this payday type situation, as an advantage for restaurateurs that are looking to hire people. And it's been a huge challenge. Talk to me a little bit about kind of the success stories that you guys might have seen from people that maybe didn't have that before and then adopted your product, and kind of what do retention numbers look like? What does that look like? Not just to bring more people in, but also keep them on board, keep them working, keep them showing up to serve the guests.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a crazy time in this space. And as I said, you know, I go back well before COVID, kind of before even the last recession we had, in dealing with restaurants and their challenges. And while it's not as severe as it was today, they always had challenges hiring people and paying people. You know, we had a lot of clients in New York and New Jersey, which had, you know, higher minimum wage rates. And so it was more lucrative than working in some of the southeastern states, but it was still tough.
Yep.
And there weren't that many tools. The main tool was raise wages, maybe benefits. And I think, you know, before I mention how I think the best of our clients are using this and how it's helping them, I think you step back and say, well, what's really going on in this space? And we don't know what the ramifications of the current, you know, step tiptoeing around the word recession are. But so far, people are still spending, at least as of last week. But it's an interesting time. And I'll share this anecdote I had from one of our clients who runs a very large sit-down taco chain, and a very senior guy who'd run other large chains that you would know. And he said, it's a crazy time because think about it. I have trouble hiring people across the board. I'm down. Consumers come in and they know they're going to get an inferior service experience. It's just a fact right now. And I'm sure people say it all the time. I hear it. I've experienced it. It's just, there's not enough people, especially in the kitchen, which you don't see when you're sitting out front. But he said, back office, terribly hard to get people. And my costs are skyrocketing.
Oh, yes.
We see, just look at the tabs. Yet people are still tipping at a higher rate than they were pre-COVID. And we look at tipping as kind of a manifestation of how people feel about their experience. And so they're still in this period of, you know, thank you for your service, so to speak. Hey, at least somebody's here to put a taco on my table or cook it for me. He said, I've never seen that in the history. I've been in this business 40 years. Because typically your quotient is service plus price equals value. And if service is down and price is down, you think up, you think value would be down. But if you use that as a measurement, it's up. So it's still a very strange time, and even sophisticated restaurateurs, of which I am not, but he is, and others like him, are trying to understand how to change the dynamic. And part of it is money, but he also tells me that they have paid increasing amounts of wages, and we see that in our pay in the restaurant space. But one, because of inflation, they're not seeing most of it, if any of it. And two, because it's so competitive when it comes to pure dollars, he said, they don't really care that much about money is a big issue, because they can walk across the street to Applebee's and get paid $2 more an hour and I lose them, particularly in the kitchen. So what's the challenge? The challenge, he said, we asked our staff across all our restaurants, what are the five most important things? And this is where I think what we do is important. He said, one is they want more flexibility in how they work, which is how they get paid, when they work, what the schedule looks like over time. Two is advancement. How do I stop being an assistant cook or somebody out front or working the tables and do more? Third is, how are you as an organization? Do I want to work for you, company? Much more focus on that than there ever was, and that's not just big corporations. It's a small, 25-30 person location taco chain and others. So where we see, and there's a bunch of other things around flexibility and promotion and training and all the things that in the human capital world, which I've been around a long time, you talk about, but a lot of companies never really did, because the advantage was tilted to the employer in the marketplace versus the employee. COVID changed the dynamic. Now we'll see what the recession does to that, but even so, it's changed the way we think about work. So as an employer, how do I find people and talk to them in a way different with just other than just wages? One of those is how to give them this flexibility. And part of flexibility is saying, hey, if you've worked, you've earned your money, you can have your money. If you have a FinTwist card, you can essentially get paid as soon as you're done with your shift. You press a button on the mobile, and there's the portion of wages that you want, that you've earned that pay period. That's all part of this general idea around flexibility. And now there's other things that employers need to do. Obviously, this is just one component, but this is something that fits into an important desire of the general workforce that this industry is trying to attract. And that's where we've seen it be successful. And in some ways, certainly with bigger chains and organizations, it's becoming, I hate to say it, more standard. If you don't have it, it's kind of like not having certain types of either mandated benefits, or if you're working for a better organization or an organization that's a little more lucrative, like having healthcare. Becoming that kind of standard. It's not there yet, but it's becoming it. More people are asking about it. More employers know about it. They just may know about it as, hey, can I get that thing that allows me to get paid as soon as I work? And a lot of employers are looking at it. We've talked to a lot, and we have a number that have adopted it, and they're beginning to learn how to articulate that so employees or possible employees understand what it is.
Yeah. So I guess I'd love to dig a little bit deeper, since this is a tech podcast, for those that do listen, because we've got, probably 20% of our listeners that are really the CIOs, the CTOs of these restaurant brands. How does that work? Are you guys taking payroll data on a daily, weekly basis? Are you guys pulling when the employee's looking for that earned wage access to be able to do it? Are you guys fronting the money to them with the understanding that they on average work these times? Like, how does that technologically work so that the restaurants aren't out too much money And not, you know, getting a bunch of people that didn't earn those wages, you know, or didn't earn up to those wages, because I'm assuming it's only when you've earned it, but you've got to figure out how to get that data back from the systems. And as you probably know, I live in the restaurant technology space. There's thousands of ways that that data is getting, you know, coming out of payroll systems, coming out of point of sale systems, coming out of, you know, lots of different places. And so talk to me a little bit about kind of the tech behind that, and where does that tie in to make sure that that you're getting to the right data to be able to pay the employee that needs to or wants to be able to go out to the ball game tonight and needs the $100 to buy the ticket.
Well, I know you're a big baseball fan, so I noticed you used a ball game there.
I am certainly a big baseball fan. That is definitive. So yes.
Well, I'm a big Yankees fan, so
as am I, and it's been a fantastic season. I'm not happy that Carpenter hurt himself yesterday, and I'm hoping some of these guys get back. But yeah, no, I am a huge Yankee fan. Have been since I was a little kid.
Waking up this morning and seeing that was quite disappointing. He's been great, but we'll have to save that for the Talking Restaurant Technology and Yankees Baseball podcast.
Absolutely, I love it.
So let me go back. You asked a lot of good questions there. I think. When we talk to prospects or clients about it, it starts with everything you said is irrelevant in the sense that it doesn't affect the way the payroll process works.
Okay.
Once it's set up, you go and run your payroll just like you were running it. And the employee who wants it signs up for it through a mobile application or FinTwist mobile. And essentially when they decide they want to take a FinTwist on-demand payment, they go into their app, there's a button that says, I want X amount, I put the amount in, I press the button, and instantly the money will appear in whatever on their card or the card account. That's the very simple way, and because you said, hey, we've got technologists listening, I'll give a little bit more on the setup, which is really where it starts and ends from a really the kind of work that you alluded to. So yes, we need to know who works there. Mm-hmm. Yes, we need to know the hours that they worked so that we can get that information to verify that, you know, that Jeremy did work those hours.
Yep.
And he's working. So we do an integration, and we have integrations to literally hundreds of payroll and time systems. Some of that data can be done through an API. Mm-hmm. Some it can be done as a simple file output that a lot of the payroll and time applications can produce electronically, but it's just called electronic spreadsheet, so to speak. And so those are part of the setup to do the file setup. If we have an integration built, as I said, we have many, it becomes a very simple process. And on the other end, when it comes to the consumer, this is where the whole earned wage access structure can get a little tricky, not from an operational standpoint, but from what is and what is currently approved, or what is approved by state payroll laws, and what's approved at the CFPB. And so there's a bunch of regulatory issues.
Okay.
There are some models that say, hey, we'll put the money out. And that's typically what we do. We are the party that puts the money out, because that's why the employer doesn't have to worry about changing their process. And so we'll pay the employee, and then at payday, we get our money back and the balance goes back to the employee, but that's only on payday. Same as any other file that they would run on payday. Question is, what you said, hey, what if you didn't really work? What if somehow you didn't show up on the file we got, even if we had the right integration? What if, for example, you had a bunch of garnishments that we didn't know about? It took all your money out before it ever got to your bank account. And so, one, that's still our liability.
Okay.
Some of these models will say, okay, well, give us your bank account consumer, because if we don't get it, we're going to go after you. Well, that's lending.
Yep.
In our view. And those models either require the provider to have a lending license, because think about it, your recourse is back to the consumer like any other loan. Mm-hmm. So if you don't, you're really kind of breaking state lending laws. Some people say, no, we're not, and they do it anyways.
I'm chuckling about it because I'm like, oh yeah, I guess you know, beg forgiveness after the fact if you get caught, right?
Exactly. And so in our case, that doesn't ever happen. The recourse is to us, because we're laying out the money on behalf of the employee. In terms of too many other either garnishments or other deductions that would come before pay, part of the way we protect against that is we don't allow the consumer to take more than typically 50%. They could take a bit more, so that there is enough cushion if indeed the ultimate pay that period is reduced by some unknown that we would never see prior. We could offer the ability to do more. We sometimes talk to employers who say, well, maybe could you do more? But we also don't know if that's particularly fiscally responsible, also, because what we don't want from a financial wellness perspective, I don't want Jeremy every time he works, and some of these are short, you know, let's say it's a full shift, but if you're making $10 an hour at a tax, we're talking about dollars. And we don't want somebody to think about it like they're an ATM machine where they just go put a card and take money out, and because ultimately they're going to run out of money. So part of it is to help bridge the gap between the periods for the things that I need, but it's not, I got to get a pack of smokes today, so I'll take some money out. I'll take another some money out tomorrow to get, you know, something else that I could legitimately wait maybe a week to get. Mm-hmm. So there's the balance of allowing flexibility and then giving people what they want, so to speak. So in the end, the recourse is to us. You can come in and out of the program. You don't have to take it every pay period. You know, typically we see consumers take it if they're weekly 2 to 3 times a month. So it's not every day, it's not every shift, but it's enough that it tells us that they're using it probably in the right way and in the way that they need it. And that's fairly common among all of the providers. I mean, that's a fairly common stat. Another one that you asked about earlier, just so to answer that, what they're finding is it probably retains employees versus employers that don't have the program, something like 20 to 25% higher retention. So that's clearly huge. Works, keeping people in their place. And I think that last year there was something like over $2 billion in these types of earned wage transactions. So there's a lot of money flowing through the system now. It's not, when I first knew about this in another role 10 years ago, there was a couple of guys doing it and it was very little. So from a technology perspective, setup, integration, it could either be a file or an API that's done up front. Once the process goes, you offer it to your employees. We help with the education. We help with the marketing. They may already have the mobile already, so we're doing promotion of it through the mobile. We're telling them how to do it. They can also use our web-based solution. Decide they need it for pay this week. They hit the button. We get the information. We see and validate the hours and that you're part of the payroll. And ultimately, that would be go on a simultaneous basis. The employee gets their pay instantly on their card. They can get out whenever they want, and that's the way essentially the process works. It's not terribly complicated. I'll say that it's usually just about fitting it into people's priorities, frankly. You know, the tech's not that hard, but you know, for smaller chains, single large restaurants, they may not have the technology people on staff. They either contract out, or they're working something on their, you know, Aloha system, or they're doing something else up front with technology. And so it's just getting them to focus on it, to do the bits that we need up front. But once it's in and in place, there's really not much to do at that point anymore for the employer.
I love it. And I mean, I do think it's a distinct advantage from an employer perspective to be able to have solutions like this. So I love that that you guys came on the show. Brian, you guys have been in this space for a while. You talk about, you know, the employee management HR space that you've been career wise. You've been here. You get, you know, you're probably the third or fourth company that I've heard of doing kind of these payday cards or something along these lines over the last few years. So it's certainly becoming common. Talk to me about where you see the industry going, where you see this going for restaurants. It's hard. It's hard for restaurants to do what they're doing. It's hard for them to continue to make money. You know, it's only getting harder. Food costs are going up. Labor costs are going up. Consumers are choosing to engage with the brands in different ways. Where do you see this tech, you know, consumer product kind of, where is it going? Where, you know, give me your crystal ball and say, where's FinTwist going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, as it relates to this? Is it going to continue to go down that route? Are banks going to continue to have less power because of solutions like these and these other consumer-based pieces? You know, talk to me a little bit about where you see the future of FinTwist and the industry as a whole as it relates to paying the employees that are in this labor category, as you talked about.
I mean, there's a lot of challenges. I mean, I kind of characterize it as it's both here and broadly and really what's the future of work look like. I think it's a very different world than it was, you know, growing up Shane Spencer fan for you old Yankees fans. You know, I think from a pure payments and fintech perspective, in the payment side only, it's evolving. You'll never see the end of banks as we know them for a couple reasons. One, they have huge capital structures. And those capital structures are less concerned about consumers, they're more concerned about business. And so most of the large banks make money and are involved in lending and in providing capital flexibility for businesses, enterprises, mm-hmm. corporations. Employees were often a byproduct. It was like, okay, if we're going to have a, you know, large line of credit and you're going to get a checking account that you need, an operating account, and you go, hey, what about something for my employees? Sure, if they can come in, we'll cash their checks for free, you know, we'll give them a card. It wasn't, for the most part, the objective. And so what happened, it created this space a number of years ago now, for these independent banks, consumer-based products, both lending and services, both in terms of the kinds of services you might want as a consumer and strictly how I use it for payments. Uh-huh. And so that created this whole industry of these card-based programs. We have to recognize that those are appealing to people. You can't stand on the sidelines and, you know, if you're a McDonald's franchise, you can't just go, well, nobody likes Burger King's or Wendy's, so you don't even have to worry about them. Well, okay, you're just kidding yourself. Or even worse, hey, we're burger shops and that's what we were. Gee, it's interesting down the street that Chick-fil-A seems to have all my traffic going back a few years because, hey, suddenly people don't want meat. They want something or an alternative. So you've got to be open to what that alternative is. And I think for us, what I see in our business and certainly for our product is this merging of the consumer attributes products where there's more around loyalty, rewards, payment flexibility. You see a lot of programs now kind of buy now, pay later. Well, those are just simply advanced lending kind of programs. Some of them are irresponsible, but I think they have value. So I think putting into place more flexible ways people get paid, like we're doing today, how they get what they do with their pay and how they get essentially rewarded or how they get tied to an organization where they do use their pay. I think that's really important. I think in terms of work in general, it goes back to what my friend at the taco chain said. It isn't just about pay anymore. It isn't just about we have jobs, you must need a job, you come pay.
Right? Sorry, I'm chuckling because I have some of my team members even that think that way. It's like, no, that's not the way it works.
No, man. It's not.
So much more power than you ever think. So sorry, I'll let you
continue. No, you're right. And it's shifted quite a bit in my lifetime. And as I said, I've worked in a lot of industries where human capital has been absolutely critical, mm-hmm. both from the hirer and the hiree. And so I think how do we look at technology and whether it's in identifying candidates and profiling who's the best and most appropriate for the job and most likely to show up, which is a huge industry issue. Yes. So, hey, we go through all this time, we find somebody, they say, great, Monday morning comes and they don't show up. So it's, in my view, it's doubly bad because you think you have somebody and then they don't show up and you've invested all that time and potentially capital to doing that. So how do I understand who's not only going to take the job? Because I look at their profile, I look at their background, I see what they're doing, and they'll stay. And then I look at what is important to them, going back to my friend's survey, and saying, look, if I have a population that wants flexibility, they want promotion, they want training, they want more time for themselves. They understand they can't be remote and clear a table, but they do want more time for themselves. And they want the ability to say that my company is a good place to work. Mm-hmm. Well, then you have to create programs on that side that essentially address those concerns. You can't just say, I'm going to pay them $2 more an hour, and or maybe I'll add some form of a benefit like healthcare or dental insurance or something that a lot of them historically have not done just because of the cost and the significant turnover in their workforce. So I think that it's these more forward-thinking organizations that are not simply small mom and pop, you know, one or two store kind of places. Those are a whole separate category. But the kind of clients that you are talking to, because they have real technology, they have real people mm-hmm. that focus on it. You're not making that investment if I've got, you know, one corner sub store. I think those are the people that can win. And I think if they look at their most important asset, people, yep. and they address their programs to attract and retain those people, well, they're the ones who are going to sustain themselves as we continue to see headwinds in the economy and ultimately see who's going to win and who's going to lose. I don't necessarily have all the answers to that. I think there's a lot of interesting technology in each of these areas that we just talked about beyond just earned wage access. It's how do you put those together? How do you have people help you in articulating those and communicating those to the potential market, those being my employees and potential employees? And then ultimately, once they're there, how do you keep them in their jobs by addressing their concerns?
And I think that's really not just a key. I think you hit on a lot of the points, not the particulars as much as kind of the purpose of the show is to remind people you've got to continue to invest in your restaurant to keep them up. Because if you're not, the guy down the road is, and he's going to take your employees and he's going to take your customers, and ultimately you're going to be out of business. And so
absolutely.
I love that. So Brian, we're getting towards the end. Tell our audience, how do they get in touch with you guys? What does that onboarding look like if they want to kind of work with your team and engage in the products that you guys have to help make their business better and do the investment that I just referred to?
Right. It's www.fintwist, FINTWIST, solutions.com. So www.fintwistsolutions.com. There's a lot of information on the program, what we do, how to get in contact with us in terms of any of the products that I talked about today. In terms of, hey, once you reach out, the process moves very quickly, as I said, and we can help get these programs up as quickly as the organization wants to have them in place. Let's put it that way.
I love it. I love it. Well, I thank you for educating our audience, quite frankly, on this whole space, Brian, because you're the first of this type of guest that we've had. And so I love that not only is it a growing segment, you guys have been sitting in the catbird seat for a while because you guys have had a product like this for quite some time. But I love where you guys are going. And I really do believe that it's meeting that consumer need and the employee need and the employer need. So I love that that you guys have got the solution out there for our listeners. To our listeners, guys, we know that you guys have got tons of choices as far as how you guys spend your time and energy. So we appreciate you guys listening. If you haven't already done so, go give us a rating on your favorite podcast player because it helps others find out about the show. If you guys know of other people that you guys want to have on the show, send them my way, restauranttechnologyguys.com. There's a form that you can fill out to go be a guest. And to Brian and your whole team, thank you so much for being on the show and make it a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.